to worry your patience too long. I'll try to move through it just as quickly as the Lord will help us. I first want to make an apology. This morning, I have thought about this all week, really since Wednesday night. I said something Wednesday night in Bible study that was incorrect, and I need to deal with it. I'm human, and I'm sorry I made a mistake. I made mention about how over in 3 John that there was a man by the name of Diotrephes who had preeminence. And in that Greek context, that word meant that he was fond of being first. And I made a statement that was the only place that was given that preeminence was used. And that's incorrect. That is the only place that in that Greek terminology, in the way that that was used, that's the only place that's used in that context. But the word preeminence is used in other places, and it's also used without even being said. What that means, I want to read this in Colossians, and then I'll get on to my lesson. It says in Colossians in the first chapter in the 17th verse, it says, "And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence." Meaning He is the superior one. There may be some that might be fond of being one, but He is number one. The song that the young people sang this morning about that He is of ancient days. He says that He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He has been before there ever was a beginning. And He is the superior one. And this morning, I want you to know that I have the most deepest apologies that I made that mistake. And I pray that you forgive me. I don't ever want to be guilty of mishandling the Word of God. I want to think this morning, and I guess that thought kindly goes along with a few thoughts that the Lord has given us this morning. And as I said before, I'll try not to be too awful lengthy. But I do want to try to preach for just a moment a few thoughts that the Lord has given us, and it has blessed our heart this week. It has really blessed me in my study, and if it wasn't for anybody else, it was for me. My thought this week or this morning is our high priest, I'm thankful this morning to worship and to praise a living Savior. He's alive this morning. We don't worship some dead God that men put their faith and trust in, but we worship and praise a living God. He's not in some tomb over there in Jerusalem, but He come up out of that tomb, and He's alive. And this morning I want to tell you a little bit about our high priest. I want to take for a reading. And this morning I'll tell you this subject is bigger than me. I've got my heart is heavy. And I want to do Him justice this morning. And if you get anything out of this, you give honor and glory to God. Don't try to come around and lift me up this morning. because I know that I'm nothing, but you give honor and glory to God if you get something out of this. I would recommend, if you never have, for you to study Leviticus in the 16th chapter. For you study, look over there in some parts of... really, there's a lot to be read there in Leviticus, but really the 16th chapter. And you can start in probably the 24th, 25th chapter of Exodus and read through. And then on Hebrews, starting in the 4th chapter, really through the 10th chapter, you can get a lot of reading about this. And I just don't have time to hit it all. There's a whole lot to it. But our high priest, I want to take our reading from Hebrews in the 5th chapter. And I want to tell you this morning, church, I hope this helps you to draw closer to Him. I hope this helps you to draw closer to Him. And lost person, I hope this morning, if you're here and lost and you've never been saved, I hope and pray that before you leave that you might know that there's somebody this morning that maketh intercession for us. I hope and pray this morning that the Lord will be our help. 5th chapter of Hebrews. He says, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he might offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity? And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today I begotten thee. And as he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And him being made perfect, he became the author of salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek." And I want to flip over here in the 7th chapter, in the 23rd verse, and there's, I hope the Lord will help us get through our reading. And it says, "And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to come by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth forever, forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is also able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy and harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those priests to offer up sacrifices. For his own sins. And then for the people, for this he done once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests to have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore." And to be consecrated might mean to be perfected. And with the mistakes that we've made reading, I want to stop for just a moment.
And I don't have the time this morning to get into all of it. And I'll tell you, it's a wonderful thought this morning. And boy, I'm just so thankful, if I don't get nothing else out to you, to be thankful to know that we've got a high priest that maketh intercession for us. This morning, I'm thankful to know that we've got somebody this morning that is standing upon our behalf. This morning, I thank God for it. But as we look back in the Old Testament and see how that, and pray for me this morning, but see that how Moses, as he was there on Mount Sinai, and the Lord had given him the law and had told him, as he was there on Mount Sinai, he said that he might construct him that tabernacle. And he give him the instruction. He give him the design for that tabernacle, that he might dwell with them there, that it might be a place that he might dwell with them. And he give them the design and the instruction on how to build it. And my friend, as you begin to read about how it was constructed, it was more or less built from the inside out. And my friend, this morning I want you to know there that God was to dwell within that place. And he gave them the instruction on how to build and to make the Ark of the Covenant, and how it was to be placed in the Holy of Holies. And my friend, how that once a year there was to be an atonement that was to be made. And this morning I want you to understand that continually, daily, there was sacrifices that was being made, and there was a constant work that was being done, my friend, there at the tabernacle. And those priests would labor daily in that tabernacle, and for the sacrifices that was to be offered up continually, every day, morning and afternoon. And my friend, I want you to understand something, that this high priest who was Aaron at the time, my friend, he was to go in once a year on the Day of Atonement. He was to enter in into the Holy of Holies. But there was preparation that had to be made before he could ever enter in. There was preparations that had to be made. He had to get himself cleaned up, you see. He had to enter in according to the way that the Lord wanted him to enter in. And he was ordained to enter in. He was set apart for that work. And he was to clothe himself in a way that was pleasing unto the Lord. And he was to wash himself before he was pleasing unto the Lord. The Bible says over there in Leviticus that he was to take a bullock, and that bullock was to be sacrificed, and that he was to sprinkle it upon the altar. To sprinkle it upon the mercy seat. Seven times, I believe, what the Scripture teaches us. For a sin offering for himself and for his household. He was to do that. He was to take that bullock and to sacrifice it as an offering for his sin and for his household. And not only that, he couldn't just enter in. He was to take this censer and he was to fill it full of coals. And he was to enter in this one day a year into the Holy of Holies so that the smoke might fill that place. I want you to understand this morning that God set it up in a way that it might be pleasing unto him. But this one day a year, an atonement was to be made. A sin atonement. And they was to take these two goats over there, and one was to be an escape goat that they would turn loose. And he would enter in as he come there to the door of the tabernacle, unto the veil there at the beginning of the tabernacle. He looked into the Lord, and the Lord would declare which one was to be the scapegoat. And Aaron chose lots. And one was to be the sin offering. And he was to do the same thing. After he had got himself cleaned up, then he was to make an offering, an atonement of sin for the children of Israel. This morning I want you to understand that those priests worked daily. There was no seat in there. They was to continually work. But my friend, I want you to understand something about here that we begin to read about and understand that over in the 5th chapter of Hebrews, it says that Jesus was after the order of Melchizedek. Well, who was Melchizedek? It says over here in the 7th chapter, he says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, who also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by the interpretation the king of righteousness, and after that also the king of Salem, which is the king of peace, without father and without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest continually." There's not a whole lot that's known about this king of Salem. But my friend, it says that he was without father. He said he was without mother. He said without descent. He said having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God. He talked about over here how he was after that order. And I began to think about our high priest. I began to think about how Aaron would enter in continually. And oftentimes every year there had to be an atonement for sin. No sooner than they made that atonement for sin, they was looking into the next year, because the Bible teaches us that they was to do that continually, forever. The Lord set it up that way. My friend, I want you to understand the work that Jesus Christ did, being our high priest. And like I said, I know this morning it's a big subject. But honey, I'm telling you, it says here that this man, because he continueth forever, hath unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that came unto God by him, saying him that he liveth forever to make intercession for us, for them, excuse me. This morning, I want you to understand something, church. I want you to understand something, lost people. That as this priest entered in, there was a great big veil that separated the Holy of Holies and the Holy. My friend, I want you to understand. I began to study about a little bit about that veil. That veil, we're given different descriptions of it. And in history, we can read about how big it was, and there's some different opinions on it, but my friend, the best that I can figure out, it was about 4 inches thick. 4 inches thick. The one that hung there in the temple anyway. It was about, some words, maybe around 60 feet by 30 feet, the way I understand it. This thing was big. But the one here in the tabernacle, I want you to understand, I don't know exactly how big it was. But the one that we read about there that was rent in twain, that was torn in two, my friend, it would have been approximately about 4 inches thick. I've read some historians say that two horses wouldn't have pulled it together. Couldn't have pulled it apart. This morning, I want you to know the high priest that we serve. He is from beginning to end. My friend, when he made his way up to Calvary, I want you to know that he entered into that work. He come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And when he entered into that work, my friend, it wasn't like the work of those priests that had no seats to sit down. But I want you to know that it says over here, it says that and every priest standeth daily ministering and often offerings, oftentimes in same sacrifices which can never take away sins. He said, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from hence expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. My friend, when Jesus Christ accomplished what he came to accomplish, he sat down on the right hand of God because it was done and it was finished. These men over here, I want you to know this morning that there's oftentimes we say that Well, let me just read it. He said in the 10th chapter, he said in the same chapter in Hebrews, he said, but in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Every year they remembered the sins that must have been forgiven, those sins that must have been atoned for. He said, but for it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering there would not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins thou hast no pleasure. He said, then I said, lo, I came in the volume of the book that is written of me. Do thy will, O God. And when he had said, sacrificing and offering and burnt offerings, and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast thou pleasure therein, which is offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God, and take away the first, that he might establish the second. I want you to understand something. It says, in those days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying, and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, was heard, and that he feared. I want you to go with me to Luke. And I want to read to you over here in the 22nd chapter. It says in the 39th verse, and when he came out and went as he went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said to them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And when he was withdrawn from about a stone's cast, he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in the agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down from the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was coming to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, why sleepest thou? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. He was there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and my friend, I want you to know the things that was going to come upon him. I want you to know that he understood. He knew what laid before him. He knew what was going to happen. He knew from the very beginning, and as he was there in that Garden of Gethsemane, and he began to pray on mine and your behalf, the pressure that he was under, I'm talking about pressure. He knew that he was going to the cross. He knew that he was going to bear the load for all of mankind. He was under so much pressure. And as he began to pray unto the Father, my friend, his sweat began to fall as great drops of blood. Can you imagine the pressure that he was under? He was a man in the flesh, just as me and you, but yet he was God in the flesh. He felt every bit of pain and agony. Everything. He went through all of it for me and for you. Every bit of it. I want you to understand something this morning, that all the stripes that he took, it talked about there that his, I believe it's in Isaiah 52, that his vestige was marred. It was marred into an appearance of no other man. He was unrecognizable. They had plucked the beard hairs from his face. I'm talking about our Lord and Savior this morning. The things that he went through for me and for you. That when he was there upon Calvary's hill, that he bore the cross. And honey, I believe that he bore it all the way. the load and the pressure that he was under. Knowing as he laid down there upon that cross that they hammered into his hands them nails. Hammered into those nails into his feet. And my friend, as they hoisted him up for the world to see, and a great darkness come upon the earth there, and he said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? And he took my old filthy sins, everything that I've ever done, and he bore those things upon the cross of Calvary. My friend, he bore all of our sin. And then he said, it is finished. And he gave up the ghost. Finally, he said, it's finished. No more. And that veil that was in the temple was rent in twain. That separation between God and man was rent in twain. And he said, he standeth before us to make intercession for us. No more do we need the blood of goats and lambs. But my friend, the Son of God came that we might have life. And he shed his blood. And he said it was finished. My friend, this week, I've had an absolute joy thinking about our high priest and the work that he done there on Calvary's hill. He still standeth to make intercession for us. No longer does a priest have to enter into the Holy of Holies once a year to make an atonement for my sins. But Jesus Christ bore them all upon the cross at Calvary. And you want to know what's so wonderful about all of that? They're no longer to be remembered. They're cast as far from the east as to the west. No longer are they to be remembered. But he gave his life that he might cleanse every aspect of this wretched sinner that I am. When he took and wrote that upon my heart, he wrote it in his blood. His blood's been applied to my heart, not because of anything that I've done, but because of his mercy and because of his love. I know I've done a miserable job this morning telling you about your high priest. But read about him. Boy, it'll bring joy to your heart knowing that we've got a high priest. And he gave it all. He made the perfect sacrifice. He said, I'll not leave this. Can you imagine? There in the holy council of God, he said, Lord, we've got to make a way. All of that was a picture of his coming. He said, I've got to make a way, and it's got to be perfect. And he said, Lord, we can't leave this thing up to men forever. He said, I'll go, and I'll lay down my life for them. I'll lay down my life for them. Because I love them. Can you imagine that kind of love? Boy, I can't. It just overwhelms my heart, the love that God has for me and for you. This morning, won't you give him praise? Won't you give him praise this morning for your high priest? I want to read that one more time, and then I'm going to be done. Boy, there's so much to this. Brother Don, bless your heart, you've done a whole lot better job with this than me, brother. Hebrews. Listen to what he says. He said, but this man, because he continueth forever. Forever. Can you imagine the things that he went through? Well, he went through the affliction of this flesh. He suffered them. That's the reason why he can have compassion with us. It's because he suffered and was tempted in all manner just like we are. But he said, because he hath continued forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. My friend, when he saves to the uttermost. He said, no man can come unto me unless the Father that sent me draw him. He can save to the uttermost. And boy, I'm thankful. This morning there's a song that we sing. I'm saved to the uttermost. And I know that I am. Washed in the blood of the precious Lamb, to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's our message this morning. Be a word or a thought on your heart, something to be said this morning. Anything. Amen. Amen. Bless you, Sister Stacy. Something else? If not, let's have an invitation, Brother Strode. Let's have a verse of song this morning. If you've never met this high priest I'm talking about, if you don't know what it is to have been saved to the uttermost, I beg you this morning to seek the Lord. I'm not afraid to beg you this morning. The Lord made me a beggar, helped me to become a beggar a long time. Won't you seek the Lord? Church, I don't know. Maybe you've got something in your way. Maybe we need to seek out the Lord's help. I don't know. Follow the Lord. Go ahead.
190.